Hello, everyone. I want to get started a few minutes early because I'm suffering a head cold and it's full blown right now. It's also the reason why we're doing this an hour earlier than normal so I can basically get this over with and then go to sleep and get well again. As well as the fact that I don't have my video on because y'all don't need to see me sitting here like a sick person and yet still being here. But we're here to talk about principles. And believe me, being ill is going to come into that effect. So what are principles for? They're for helping people that have to deal with certain things over and over and over again in similar situations. Things like buying equipment, seeking supplies, and then making the choice of either staying with them or leaving, hiring or not hiring people, and when to call it quits when you are ill and taking the day off versus actually showing up for something that you've already promised. You know, all of these things that just basically happen as part of real life. And for that, you really need to experience life. You also need to be an independent thinker. You need to make mistakes, formulate your own lessons, learn from them, and then apply the lessons that you've learned. So in my case, this is not my first time with a cold, and I have learned that if I take certain medications like Sudafed as well as Mucinex, not exactly at the same time, but the Sudafed at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., that helps me relieve a lot of sinus pressure, as well as the Mucinex basically about an hour and a half hour before I have to do some sort of meeting. That helps me get the running under control, and then I can almost breathe so I don't sound as ill. Then I can interact with people. So if I can't miss a client meeting or if I have to do a meeting, then I have the opportunity to do it. On top of that, if I'm online like this, I can just turn off the visuals as well as being able to work with you. And I don't have to worry about you getting sick and me spreading my germs. So it's like, these are principles, lessons that I've learned. So I have made a principle, which is looking at basically the scaffolding and guidelines. I mean, you embrace reality and you deal with it. I mean, you deal with reality as it really is. The truth is essential for the foundation of producing a good outcome. So you let nature of things lead you into what the correct thing is. You have some pain, such as being ill or sticking with the wrong supplier and getting things messed up all the time and things breaking down, you reflect on it and that will equal growth. And of course, these things have been on my mind lately because a lot of people have them and people are always asking, how do you hire people? How do you go through and do a webinar? How do you decide what to write in your blog? How do you decide who to fire? Who do you decide what supplier you want to go with? And, you know, it's like, how do you decide this and that? The principles that you set out for your own reality and the things that you have done will actually help produce that. So in this workshop, I wanted to go through how to make a good principle. So the first things I wanted you to do is think about something that you do over and over and over again that you would like to basically do better. And in my example today, I'm going to go with hiring because I'm in my third round of hiring freelancers. The first time, it was a complete mess. There was a lot of pain. There was a lot of reflection that went on. I mean, we're a brand new company then, and we didn't even have all of our messaging straight and all that stuff. That meant we actually hired the wrong people, and we had a hard time getting the message across as what we are, what we were trying to do in life, our actual mission. And the more we thought about, the more we stumbled across our words. So the pain and reflection made for a huge leap in growth. And then the second round of hiring, there was more pain because you can hire freelancers, but they don't stick with it for very long. They have a tendency to leave, which is really kind of annoying when you're trying to get things done. So you have to think, how am I going to do this? Always fun thing, let me tell you. So, again, when you come across these things, think about being an independent thinker. Don't think, what would my hero do? What would my dad do? What would my mom do? What would you do? What did you learn from it? So you've made the mistakes. What lessons can you learn from these things that you wish you were doing better? How about you, Sarah? So I know that the chat doesn't come up in the recordings. So Sarah actually responded with, she wants to get better at leading business meetings. And she's learned that if she doesn't go in with a schedule and a plan of attack, they can get off topic very quickly. That's very good, because that's something that we all come up with in life. And excuse me, I'm going to get a cough drop. My throat's starting to hurt from talking already. Obo, you are saying, yeah, talking with clients and getting them on board because you keep feeling like you're losing them along the way. That's a very good one too. I mean, honestly, that's a trick that we need to keep upping all the time, because things change as we change, our clients are learning, et cetera, it makes it harder to get them on board. These are all very good examples. So what have you learned from the mistakes that you've made in the past? Jake has said that when he learned to hire, he actually had learned that not to look just at the resume, but to look at the people, because a lot of people don't know what to write. And sometimes they just go with what a generic word is. And they'll just keep putting down the same old without actually knowing what they're writing. And it doesn't mean a whole lot to them or to even you. So I'll take that into consideration when I look at resumes, because honestly, this is my third round of them and I'm still not sure what I'm looking at. Sarah, you said that you learned already about the meeting notes. And of course, as you're learning about these mistakes and you're developing your own lessons from them, you also need to think, what can you do to apply and try something different? I think you all got the idea now. So my example with hiring is, after I learned my painful lessons of not knowing where I was going and not knowing how to keep the people I needed, and then also not being able to tell people, I have a job for you and this is what I'm looking for, those lessons kind of hit me hard. So I developed the following principles. Know the goal and the culture I'm aiming to build. You know, that way I can at least look for the right people. Find the people who can work the way we need them to right now. Like, I know I have a lot of graphic designers that wanted to apply for us in the past and they didn't work as well as we'd hoped to, simply because they didn't actually apply themselves and they wanted to do branding and logos, whereas we needed something completely different. We needed storytelling. Give people with good character a chance and help them build the skills, because that way, you know, they might stay on board longer versus just, I have the skills, but I don't have the character to stick through this. Let go of those who can't adapt or are not hungry enough, because I've had many people that have come on board and they can't adapt to the freelancer life, as well as I've had people that just, they have no gumption to get the job done, so they might leave something unfinished for months and months at a time and we've moved on and it's no longer applicable. That's not acceptable. We need people that will do what they say and do it. I must have a high degree of integrity and honesty. And part of that is culture building, because I honestly don't want to deal with people who are dishonest and have low integrity. I want to work with people with high amount of character. And of course, because of my communication style, I want them to be able to take criticism as well as I want them to be able to deal criticism, because we're still a growing company. I need them to say, hey, this isn't working, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. I need them to be able to do those things. So those are the principles that I am looking for in people to hire. And when I go through and I talk to people, I check off these boxes. And if they can't meet them, then I can't hire them. And that's pretty much what you do with yours. So, Sarah, you had said that you were going to meetings and you wanted to be able to, you know, have people more on the ball. So what kind of principles can you put into place there in order to have your meetings go more smooth? I mean, you said you wanted to go with an outline, but what other kind of things can you do? Can you possibly put like a stop time to it? Like say 15 minutes of introductions or whatever you need, like, you know, 5 minutes of icebreaker, 15 minutes of points and case type of thing. And those sorts of things might help, especially if they're printed on the agenda and they can help people stay in line. But again, this is something that you need to do, because as an independent thinker, you can try things, make a mistake, learn from them, and then integrate them as you go. And it's going to take time to build up your principles and make something that you actually are proud of. And hi, Stefan. Good to have you again. Stefan had mentioned that he was dealing with suppliers. And, you know, basically, because when you get chemical supplies, you expect things to be in good condition or at least not broken. And he'd worked with a company for a short period of time that, although the price was good, things were often broken. So they were cheapening up the packaging, and then anything made out of glass, once you said a plastic bottle was broken and there was just chemical all over the place, which isn't good, it's definitely a health hazard. So, you know, you need to put together principles of what would make you want to stay with a supplier. And of course, you know, cost value. I mean, if you have things exploding in shipping because they didn't package them well, you have to consider things in nature of, like, post offices don't give a crap. They're going to throw things around. This is embracing reality as it is and dealing with it. It's letting nature of things lead the way so you can make a good outcome. You can't control the post office and how it's going to treat your packages. Despite it having all the warning signs of chemicals on them, they're still going to chuck them around. So then you have to either ask the suppliers if they're going to ever start packaging them better, or you have to, sorry, this cough drop, it's crazy. Or you have to basically say, okay, I'm done, and go with somebody that might cost a little more, but at least your stuff wouldn't get damaged in shipping, thus making it worth the price. And it seems like we have a very small group today. So I have a feeling this is going to go really quickly, and that means I can go back to bed. You also aren't being very chatty today either. My principles when dealing with suppliers, Stefan? Well, again, I have a thing for honesty and integrity, and I put that at the forefront. So if I ship a shipment that comes in that's a problem, and they haven't checked the order or anything like that, and I call them and talk to the customer service and they seem a bit sketchy, then I have a tendency to basically discard them relatively soon, because I want to make sure that I'm dealing with people that I can trust. And if a company seems sketchy, I will definitely not work with them. Other than that, timely communications are open. I will put down cost is a factor, but not at the detriment of things being packaged poorly, like your problem is, or basically getting shipped to the wrong place. And the reason why I say this is because in the past, I've ordered things from Amazon, you know, school supplies, things of that nature, and they get stolen in the mail. I can't deal with that because then I have to wait for them to ship out another one, and it's often late for classes, and it mucks up the entire schedule, and that's not acceptable to me. So I want something that I know is going to be shipped through UPS or USPS, knowing that it will not get stolen later on. Oh, is that all the questions we have? Any other questions? Thoughts? Comments? More ideas thrown out there? Does anybody have any ideas for Sarah about what she can do about keeping the meeting principles? Very good, Stefan. Only inviting people that are actually necessary for the meeting, not other people outside of. That can help limit the amount of distracting conversations. For buying equipment, I think that's more like the specs of what you need for your thing. Oh, and for firing people, ooh, that's a hard one. See, I know your situation. I know that you're at a university, and when you hire people, it's not like you can just get rid of them because they're often undergraduates, and thus you need to use them, and they're part of the program, which makes things really, really difficult for you. So one of the things that I might suggest is having a pre-filter of the program that's more heavily relatable, and then also having a principal scaffolding in place on how you are going to train them and double check them and give them like marks for improving. That might be more ideal for your personal situation. As for my situation, because I'm not in university anymore and I don't have to deal with the academic stuff and the politics of it, I have that in place, but that's because, once again, I find integrity very important and I want people to succeed in life. But my principles for firing them is if they can't meet some of the basic things like getting their work done on time, changing bad habits, and giving feedback about the system, because it's not helping us all grow and they're really mucking things up and it's just not going to work. So that's where I come across that. Excuse me, a moment, I need to blow my nose. I'm going to put you on mute as to not record this. Okay, that's better. I know, I'm very soft-spoken today because my throat hurts a lot from this cold. It's amazing what happens, though, when you take medication, because the Mucinex, when it wears off, my throat swells up. It's horrible to talk because it just the tonsils are swollen and I can't even swallow, let alone speak loudly. So it's an interesting thing there. Our half hour is nearly up, so are there any other questions about principles building your scaffolding in your company? We've got about 20 minutes here. So once again, to make a successful principle for your company, it needs to be things that you do over and over and over again. It's helping you with basically dealing with things that happen in similar situations. So if you need to buy a lot of equipment for your labs or anything like that, you might want to have a scaffolding or principles in place that help you to decide what you need, how often you need it. What do you do if things get destroyed or missing or whatever normally happens to you over and over and over again? Or perhaps when you're hiring somebody or developing a relationship with a colleague and you want to kind of maybe do partnerships and things of that in the future, having your principles in place to know if they're a good partner, potential partner, or a terrible one to work with, you know, having those scaffoldings in place to decide whether or not they're good or going to be bad to work with, those sorts of things are the best ways to start building principles in. It's because if you, say, want to partner with somebody who has a lot of money, but they're absolutely terrible people, like, they're uncouth, they use their employees, they're just, all in all, you would not want your reputation of yourself and your company tied in with them. But you like the idea that they have money, and you're sitting there going, would that be good or would that be bad? And say if you took a chance and said, I'm going to partner with them for this thing, and then the fallout of that is just terrible. So the next time you want to look to partner with somebody, you might reflect on that lesson and go, nope, not doing that because the reputation that it gives my company makes it harder to grow afterward, and it's just not worth it. That's what I mean by situations that you're going to have to deal with over and over and over again. And the ways that you know if it's worth making a principle for is because you basically get to create a way to make it so you make fewer and fewer mistakes, and that every decision that you make has a better and better outcome with the more mistakes that you do make. Because remember, every time that you make a mistake, you'll learn from it, you'll apply the lesson, you'll embrace the reality of the entire thing, and then you'll be able to build more and more and a stronger foundation, the stronger scaffolding, and be able to build an amazing lab. Yeah, we'll probably come back to this idea again. Good idea, Stefan. We might break it down into a few more lessons. So, once again, as a summary, principles of helping people with things to make decisions about things that have happened over and over and over again in similar situations. Things like buying equipment, seeking suppliers and staying with them or leaving, hiring and not hiring. To make the best out of it, you basically have a situation where you make a mistake. You need to be an independent thinker, formulate your own lessons, learn from them, apply the lesson. So everything that you do, you can actually make decisions about, make lessons about. And if it's related to the same type of thing, like buying the equipment, seeking suppliers, and failing miserably, you can then start to build a principle. The key is to embrace reality and dealing with it as it is. So don't try to fantasize about a better world. We have what we have. And the truth is essential for the building a foundation of producing good outcomes. Let the nature of everything around you lead the way, because it is, if you try to make up a reality, it's not going to work. You'll feel some pain. You reflect on what caused the pain, and that will be growth. And you can apply this to just about anything that happens over and over again, whether it's in your professional life, your personal life, whether it's, you know, based on something big, something small, something that's repeated just a handful of times. Like, I don't know how often you need to buy big equipment, but I don't need to buy it that often. But I still look for ways to make it ever and ever more foolproof. And these are things that you can build principles around in order to limit the amount of mistakes that you make. But again, You're going to make mistakes. You're going to feel pain. There is no foolproof way to go through life. You're going to learn. You're going to get better. And that's what building principles is all about. Thank you, Stefan. I will get better soon. I mean, I'm in day 2 or 3 of a head cold, but it's getting better. Much, much better already. All right. Since now we've just started, begun chatting, I'm going to end the meeting. Guys all have each other on your Zoom list as friends, I hope, and you can carry on the conversation. But this time I'm going to bow out because I am desperate to get some more good rest in. I love you all. I wish you the best in building your companies. And I will see you in the next one.